Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office Overtime.
So today we are going to talk about screen addiction.
Yeah.
That's right. That's looking at your phone constantly. There was an article in the New York Times on January 25th of this year, 2018, and it was called Keep Your Heads Up, How Smartphone Addiction Kills Manners and Moods.
Yeah.
But I just want to read this one piece that I found was really interesting, because they now are saying that we have text neck.
Yes.
Which really hurts our spine. So the average human head weighs between 10 and 12 pounds.
Mm.
And when we bend our neck to text or look at Facebook or whatever, the gravitational pull on our heads and the stress on our neck increases to as much as 60 pounds of pressure.
Ooh.
That common position among basically everyone leads to incremental loss of the curve of your cervical spine, calling that text neck.
Rut-row.
Yeah, so it's becoming a medical issue. And they're saying that it affects mood, behavior, memory, frequent slouching, maybe causing us depression. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I don't really know. I think it's a little too soon. But I do think that screen addiction is becoming an issue.
Yes.
I mean, I think socially it's becoming an issue that everybody is on their phone constantly.
Yes.
I mean, I have my own personal pet peeves, like when I'm walking down the street and everybody's on their phone, so they walk into you.
Yes.
Or someone's shopping in the supermarket and their cart is moving at a glacial speed, and then I finally push past them and realize they were on the phone talking or checking Facebook. And that stuff really bothers me.
Yeah.
What bothers you?
Well, actually, those two things bother me. I think the thing that I find that actually makes me sad is that I feel like phone staring has really destroyed spontaneous interaction for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So Kathy knows that I'm overly friendly on the elevator, but
she talks to everyone on the elevator. I mean, really.
I'm still able to connect every so often with people on the elevator and, you know, on train platforms.
She'll ask the mailman, how's the mail today? Just thought you might find a lot of packages, which she says to UPS. Anyway.
But that's exactly
right. They love it.
For me, exactly. For me, those interactions are part of what makes life rich. And so I feel, and actually it's interesting, in that same very same article, they talk about when people were interviewed, 75% said that their screen use does not in any way impede their social interaction. I don't believe that. Not for a minute. Everyone thinks they're totally available, but they're not.
Well, I think it's a way to not be socially available.
Right.
Now, I live in an elevator building. I mean, the office is an elevator. We live in the city. Mm-hmm. So you got to take elevators. And people always, they cannot deal with having to look at anyone or have any kind of connection. So they're just constantly on their phone.
Yeah.
And I sometimes will look over to see, what are you doing? Because my phone is quite boring. I don't really understand why everyone else's is so interesting.
Yeah.
And they're just scrolling. They're just looking at Instagram. They're just on Facebook. And I mean, I personally, I find it interesting for a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
But not that long. So what is that?
Well,
I don't want to miss anything?
No, I think what happens, I think there is a dependence that builds. And I also think that there's an anxiety that starts to creep up when you're not, if you are constantly interacting with a screen, then not interacting becomes problematic.
Mm-hmm.
You start to feel anxious. You may feel agitated. You may feel angry. You may think you're missing something.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a client who's very busy on social media, and he went away for the holidays for a few days, and he came back and he stopped using Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
He's continued to not use Twitter, and he said he realized like it was almost like junk food, that he felt kind of sick, but he couldn't stop himself from interacting with it.
It's a good example, junk food.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's true. It's not that interesting. I mean, look, I read the news on my phone because why not?
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a great use of the device. But I do that in the morning in my privacy or in the evening. Yeah. I don't do it when I'm with other people. I don't understand, really. But I have to say that sometimes at the end of an evening when I haven't looked at my phone for a couple of hours, I really feel a tremendous tug. I feel like the other half of me, like I've got to look at it. So well, there is something addictive.
Yeah. Well, and I don't want to make it just phones because I think it is screens of all kinds. Video game addiction is very real.
Yeah.
iPads, laptops.
Yeah.
Right. All those screens. And maybe even your GPS. There are people who can't drive probably now without their GPS mm-hmm. telling them where to turn. So I wrote up a couple of questions, a few questions, like to determine whether you have an addiction issue or whether, you know, maybe your relationship with your screen is fine. So here are the questions. Does using your screen alter your mood?
No.
Does it alter your ability to think? Does it interfere or negatively affect your relationships? Kathy's shaking no.
No, so far I'm okay. But wait, I haven't heard all the questions.
Do you need more and more screen time to feel satisfied?
Maybe.
If you don't have it, do you go through withdrawal? Do you get angry, anxious, impatient, or depressed?
Not really.
Yeah. Well, so, but I think for our listeners, this is just something to think about, that something is an addiction when it starts to overtake other areas of your life, when it interferes with your capacity to function and relate as a human being among other human beings. So I've been doing some work now in Adolescent Skill Center, and there's a young man there who literally has his phone in front of him at all times. Mm-hmm. And if you take that away, it causes incredible distress. Mm-hmm. That's an addiction.
That's an addiction, yeah.
So it's just to look at, and the thing that's interesting also about screen addiction, or let's say the screen habit, let's say you have a screen habit that you think may be a little out of control, is that you can't stop it altogether, right? Because you're going to need phones, pads, computers for work. But what you could do is, like with food, you can't stop eating food, but you can have a food plan. Mm-hmm. So you could have a screen plan. Mm-hmm. And you could have times when you're off of the screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the junk food is a really good comparison.
Uh-huh.
Because that's something that is readily available.
Yeah.
But we all know it's bad for us.
Yeah.
So we either limit it or we just have a little bit, you know, so I think it's just a good example that it's part of our lives, but doesn't have to dictate our lives.
Right. I also want to say that this weekend I went to visit my mother in Florida. And
she's not addicted to her phone.
She's not on any screen.
She can't find
it. Actually, she has TVs everywhere playing all the time. But I wouldn't say she has this issue going on. What's interesting is that she called on me a couple times, like, Catherine, you know, like, because I was pulled away on my phone and clearly not paying attention to what she was saying. So I'm just saying I can't be too high and mighty, really, as we're talking about this.
None of us can. I don't like when I'm having dinner with people and they take a call or they're on, you know, their phones. I find that kind of rude.
Yeah.
But that I think, you know, you can say, you know, let's put our phones in the middle of the table and, you know.
Well, that's the part, that would be the screen plan part, right? Is that you can have situations perhaps, and as a company, you can have situations, although I'm sure you'll get some kickback on it, where screens aren't there, you know?
Yeah, that's a hard one because people take notes on their phone or they may be waiting for a text from someone in their department. They may be waiting for information. I mean, let's be honest, it's your email, it's your texting.
No, I understand
like
that.
It's not just, you know, junk information.
Absolutely.
Like it has important information. That's what I'm drawn to all the time is I'm either expecting an email or I'm expecting to hear from somebody. You know, it's your phone. It's so many different things.
Yes, however, there are times when you don't have to have it. Even if you're expecting emails, if you had a 10-minute departmental meeting without phones, everyone would survive.
Right.
But we tend to think we can't.
Right.
That's the thing that I find interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I left mine in my coat this morning, so I was gone for about 2 hours, and then all of a sudden, I thought I heard it.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, my God, is that it? You know, I was like, where did I do it? You know, because I don't want to lose it. And then I went and got it, and there was a lot of messages. There was a bunch of missed calls. There were some texts. None of them were earth-shattering.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So we're really just bringing this to light to think about it. Think of your relationship with screens. Think about whether it interferes. If we're sure that it helps your life, but just be careful if you're getting text neck.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And also if that what you're doing with the phone is then avoiding being present.
Right.
And I think that's one of the things they mentioned in that article, right? Which is that we think we can listen and text or email or do whatever, or play a game, but that's not really true. That's not really accurate. And multitasking has been disproven more often than it's been proven. So you got to just be real. All right. Join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.